No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we got 905 Shooter on the show. How you living, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Are you?
Yeah.
That was good to hear.
Thank you. And also, congrats to Adam on getting engaged.
This is the second podcast since I got engaged, but she didn't mention it on the first one. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. How's the fatherhood going?
It's great. 6 months in, you know, can't complain.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's everything going with you?
It's great. So I came here with my buddy 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And we literally planned this about a week and a half before leaving.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we just decided to go to LA and California, and we said, let's just create content here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And here we are.
How's it been going?
It's been great. So we first started in San Clemente.
Uh-huh.
And we went to San Diego. And then we drove up to Malibu and we're staying with a friend that's actually here with us.
Right.
And so we just been traveling everywhere around California.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I've been looking at your YouTube channel and shit, it seems like most of the stuff you've been doing is kind of more like, I don't know, traveling, sort of just exploring. Just
yeah.
Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah. Basically it was unintentional where I was in Toronto a lot.
Uh-huh.
And since I know the city so well, I thought, I'm like, why don't I just show people parts of Toronto, spots or landmarks in Toronto that people may not know of if they're not from the city.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of just started going with it. And I've been doing it for about 3 months where I just want to be a sort of tour guide for people who are wanting to visit or never seen it before.
Right.
And give them an insight look of what Toronto really feels like without actually being there until, you know, the lockdowns and wherever you are ends. Really.
Right.
So that was my whole goal. And then coming here to California, it was basically the same thing of just taking what I got from that experience and transitioning it to California, where I get to show people Santa Monica Pier or San Diego downtown. And we just got to stay at, my buddy Aaron actually emailed a couple of hotels. So we stayed for free at a place in San Clemente.
How do you do that? How do you get the free hotel stays? I've never attempted this.
So
I hear about people with no followers pulling this off, and I'm like, damn, maybe I should do that.
It's a bit of a life hack, but basically he would just email these all these different hotels and just give them statistics of what this engagement of this person is, how many followers, how many comments and all these other stuff that they put with brand companies. And for me, for example, just showed my YouTube, my Instagram, my TikTok, and just kind of give them analytics and just tell them where do, photos and videos for you guys if you allow us to stay here for free accommodation.
Right.
And that's kind of how he did for the first, even a couple of days before we got there, he just emailed a bunch of places.
Uh-huh.
And it was a place called The Surf Break, which I put it on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
And then the same thing happened in San Diego, where we stayed at the Intercontinental.
Really?
And it was an amazing hotel.
So you're just able to stay for free, and all they expect of you is to tag it and sort of post about
exactly.
it and shit?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And honestly, it's more of if you strategically say in the email what you're going to give them an incentive. And it's the same thing with photography, where if you don't really have a skill set, I say, or a reason for these people to reach back to you and not really come off as professionally, then they're just going to think you're just another person trying to use and abuse them in a way.
Right.
Right.
Because I've seen people go viral before for there was some lady who some influencer hit her up and was somebody with no fucking followers, and they were trying to get the free stay or whatever. And she posted it on fucking Twitter or some shit, just making fun of them so bad. And it went so viral. And I guess that always kind of made me think no, there's no way. You think if I call up the local Motel 6 that they're going to let me stay there for free for I'm going to take pictures of your hotel here, and I'm not going to fucking tell everybody that it's a roach infested crack den and that there's prostitutes crawling the streets outside.
Don't mention that, but yeah, it's
maybe more of a set of positive, I'm not going to expose you, more I'm going to show you in a good light.
Exactly. Mm. And so you also want to give them the most positive feedback when you're staying there and tell them an experience that, you may not know of about this place. And it's a surf town, so we had no idea going there. That's why it's called the Surf Break Hotel. It just kind of caters to these people who are wanting to surf or just experience somewhere new away from the whole city of LA and get away from the big cities.
Mm.
And I like those type of cities where they're a bit smaller. And it's a more chill community where people just are more sort of nicer in a way, It sounds a bit rude, but it's kind of how...
Toronto is a big fucking city, and everybody's nice as fuck. Not I just, mean, in comparison to here.
Not just
a big
Toronto.
City, and everybody's nice. Yeah, everybody in Canada is nice as
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
what is that? I don't understand.
There's always Karens everywhere in the world, so they're always running around somewhere, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, so...
But wherever, like, Press is from, I feel like that's probably, like, not a very nice place.
No, he's from Jane and Finch area, and it's along a street called Driftwood Avenue.
Right.
Which is one of the most... It's not... Well, it kind of is dangerous, but right. it's one of the most talked about areas of Toronto when it comes to, like, the hood.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Like, when I was watching the video about all the Canadian rappers killing each other, I was like, damn, every time I've been there, everybody's so nice, but apparently there's got to be drillers everywhere.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think, for me, I don't only want to show the good, but somewhat shed some light on the bad areas. Mm. Like... For example, my buddy Aaron, he went to San Francisco last fall, and he was telling me how people there, it's very secured in terms of, like, people breaking into cars and all that, and especially, like, if you leave it on the street, people break their back windows, and mm-hmm. so that's something that, like, people don't really sort of talk about, I guess, on social media, like, the bad. Mm. I mean, I'm sure there's people who experienced the bad that talk about it because that's all they knew, mm-hmm. but... A lot of people kind of they stray away from the bad in a way. And that's like the same thing for me where I kind of want to shed the light where this is the reality of it. This is what we go through and not everybody gets to see it, right? Because they don't have the privilege and the accessibility to social media or the internet like we do.
The question is just how far you're willing to go, because I bet you can get a lot of views if you like embedded within like a bunch of heroin addicts. And just lived amongst them and did heroin and became addicted to it.
Yeah, and a lot of YouTubers nowadays, they incorporate homelessness
really?
Into their videos.
And
yeah.
they do it? They yeah. actually live on the street?
So
that's crazy.
I don't know about living on the street, but they like make a video based around the homelessness. And like someone sent me a video about how they gave like a mukbang, I think,
okay.
with one homeless.
Oh,
I think
okay.
it was Brendan Taylor.
That's got to be probably an easy sell. Because they're all hungry as fuck, so you bring them some food, they eat it, yeah.
Exactly, and so, you know, that's just kind of sort of what I want to not always do, but if there's a moment in time where I have the chance to, I will show it to a certain degree, right? Mm. Because obviously people don't really, they get offended when they hear this or they see it, and they're like, why are you doing this?
Mm.
And if they have no context, no story behind it, then they're just going to assume. And I've said this before, where people on the internet, they just create their own assumptions, their own narratives when they don't get the full context behind the person's story told by themselves and not and through other people telling their story about you.
Mm.
Right. And that's one of the talking points I mentioned in the email
right.
to Laura about people creating the narratives for me.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, for a lot of people, they really only know of you starting at the moment where you started working with Nelk.
Basically.
What led up to that? Like what was your life like leading into that? Were you in high school or college at that time? Or
so I started photography in 2014 when I was 19.
Okay.
So that was quite before Nelk. That was in 2017 when I became a full-time employee.
Okay.
And not there's a lot of people that know this because they're probably like OG viewers. They've seen it from the beginning when before I came and when I started. Mm. And they know my story where I was in college for about 3 years before I dropped out. And I did like IT for like a year and I did culinary for 2 years. Mm. And I just basically said to myself, I don't want to do this. I just want to focus on just working. So I actually didn't tell this before, but I used to work at Little Caesars back like before I started working at Walmart for 2 years, from 2015 to 2017.
What did you like better, Little Caesars or Walmart?
Walmart, because Little Caesars, I worked there for 5 months and it felt like a prison where like they
yeah,
had
right?
two windows on the very front of the place and everything else was just all walls. So it felt like a jail cell there.
Yeah, Little Caesars is like solitary and Walmart is like at least you get to roam around with the general population, right?
Exactly. And you get to like actually talk to people.
Right.
And so I worked at produce for 2 years in Walmart. And in 2016, I went to high school with Kyle.
Okay.
And nobody really knows this or wants to give me credit, but I give him credit for all the opportunities that he provided for me and basically changing my life in a different way than I was going before that. So I was basically working at Walmart. I had no plans. I had like, okay, photography was like for 2 years that I started. Didn't really have a direction of what I wanted to do. And so in 2016, I did a part-time where I did like filming a video. I did a Starbucks video I did with them where they pretended to be an employee. And then I just took photos for them just casually whenever I had a day off. And I would get paid like $50 a day.
And were they big at all yet? Or were they having any kind of success? What was your viewpoint on what
they,
was going on with
they
them?
They were still on the come up. They were just under a million subscribers. I believe around 700-ish when I first became, like when I first started taking photos of them.
And how did you even engage that conversation if you went to high school with them? Like, how'd you reach out?
So I really didn't talk to him much during high school.
Okay.
He was indifferent, like he was more academic. I was kind of just in the middle. And so after high school, I reached out to him and I said, hey, I do photography. I see that you're doing really well with Nelk and I want to be a part of it, because I just, you know, basically cold called him. And so he gave me the opportunity to come along and, you know, start taking photos, like I said. And I didn't really think about quitting my job because it was such a huge risk for myself, not knowing where this could lead to, but I knew that there was a potential for this to start being becoming bigger than what we initially thought at the beginning. And this was right after Lucas left, and I still remember it was like 2017 of February, and I came in September. So between those months, it was just them, Kyle and Jesse. And so when I came along, I became a third member that people started to kind of follow along, and when we started growing, hit a million subs. Still remember like October of 2016, 17 actually. And the first week I went, we went to Boston, New Jersey, and New York. And then the week after, when we were coming back from the border, I still remember this. We were coming to the border of Niagara Falls, and we got a DM. Well, Jesse gets a DM from Banks. He said, hey guys, like I see you, you're doing really sick with your work. Come out to LA and live with us in the Cloud House. And that was like the second, third week that I was a part of Nelk. And then like reality hit me. I was like, wow, I'm actually going to LA for like the longest time. Didn't expect this. We stayed there for about a week, filmed a bunch of content that are considered classics now. And so that was for my whole journey from 2017 to 2019.
And like, what would you describe as your role in all of it at that time? Because it kind of went outside of just you doing photos and stuff, right? Like, you were just kind of like an on-camera personality. I remember, like, when I first started watching it, I was curious. I'm like, who is this dude? Like, he's the only one who's, like, not white, and he's kind of quiet, and he just definitely has, like, a different character than a lot of the other dudes on the show. Like, how would you describe, like, your role and everything?
Yeah, so I, like I said, I started as a photographer and a filmer at the very beginning of the, for maybe the first year and a half. And people don't know this, and I really wanted to kind of come on this podcast and really sort of tell behind the scenes of what people don't necessarily know about. It was just literally us three on the road. I was their filmer, so I would film all the pranks, have the camera with a vlog, film everything. You know, I'd be the guy to like import everything, edit like some of the vlog footage here, and Kyle would film the edit the pranks, and then I'll be the guy to put subtitles in because I don't know, like I'm kind of a perfectionist. So I really wanted to make the production of the video look, you know, super well produced in terms of like grammar, for example. Like it's a weird obsession where like I just like to make things look really good, perfected. And so that's what I started doing, taking the photos. A lot of the photos probably before was like, were photos I took. And so that was what I was known for. And people don't know that we traveled to LA like three times in a car, in a Mazda 3, driving from Miami to all the way cross country while still editing videos in the car and uploading them when we get to this like next city. So people don't really sort of know what we had to go through uploading three videos a week on a Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday every single week for the past year or so. And like when you're a new viewer, you don't necessarily sort of go back to the old beginnings. You more so look through the recent videos that you see and then kind of move forward from there. People don't necessarily understand how long it takes to really produce videos, how to like go through the struggles of finding Wi-Fi to upload a video and not like be worried about how slow it takes.
Right.
And so we would go to fans' houses and upload the videos, but they're like living at parents' house, like they're like 16, 17. We're just like, yeah, like anybody in the, you know,
Texas. Who's got good Wi-Fi?
Exactly. We'd just be like, anybody who has good Wi-Fi, hit us up. We'd be down to come through, film this and vlog about our struggles.
Yeah.
Right. This was before we had money. We were living on a budget, really, and the production wasn't as good as it was. Up until 2019 is when we started to really start hiring more people like Austin, Adrian, Alex as editors and other filmers. And Austin, you remember Austin?
I think so, yeah.
Osgod?
Right.
He was the main guy that would edit everything from beginning to end. So he's basically the last guy that you go through for the video to be uploaded.
Right.
And so once he started kind of getting the mix, and I also credit him for my editing and my filming that I've started to produce on my YouTube. I got the inspiration through him because he really mentored me into becoming a an editor and a filmer that I am today. And so, you know, going back, like people don't necessarily, I guess they overshadow what we had to go through and then only look forward to like what they see now.
Right.
You know?
Because now when you look at Nelk, it's like, wow, everything is so polished, well put together. The merch is like crazy. Like, how the fuck do they have that much stuff going on? It's like super professional now.
Exactly.
But yeah, when you were dealing with them, it was definitely a lot less polished and shit, huh?
Exactly. It was more struggle where tireless nights of us editing, making sure this video gets up at this certain time, this certain day, while still traveling to different cities and then making our way to LA where we still didn't know anybody, really. Like, we only knew Banks, and that was really it. And everyone who lived in the FaZe house.
Right.
Or the Cloud house, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And so we really had to keep going back there every single time to kind of establish our names within LA and get our name out there to meet people like you or, I don't know, Big Dawes or just all these other big influencers back in the day.
Right.
Right? And, you know, it's a real struggle when you're also, for me personally, it's more of like I'm behind the scenes. And, you know, at times I felt like, okay, I don't really sort of get the recognition that I sort of was looking for. Even though I don't want to be in the spotlight, at least, you know, sort of be recognized as a member of Nelk. And there actually were people that actually appreciated me as a filmer and an editor, and you know, somebody that was really, you know, the third member. You know, and there's other people who just focused on, you know, Kyle and Jesse as the main guys,
right?
You know, and so back in the day I just felt more like it was kind of in my head where like, why don't people sort of appreciate me more? Right. I had that mentality of like, you know, I was kind of like the outsider looking in a way. You know, and sometimes when you're in that mentality, it kind of like it eats you alive sometimes, where your ego and your confidence starts becoming lower, and then you start feeling like you're a bit more lonely or like distant from everyone else because you don't really necessarily relate to them,
right,
as like a frat guy or party guy.
Yeah, I mean, one thing's for sure is that when you are going through like quickly, you know, quickly ascending and like fame and status and money and everything, that it's a very underrated challenge. You know, a lot of people like just kind of lose their way in that journey or whatever, where, you know, it can be, you know, like knowing everything I know now, if I had like a new business that started popping off, it's like I feel like I would be very ready to, you know, handle that transformation, that process. But I'm guessing that when you look back on it, you don't think that you actually handled yourself as well as you could have during that time period? Or what are your thoughts when you look back on that? Like, do you regret how you sort of went along with everything?
Yeah, honestly, I don't really necessarily regret anything, but I do look back and I said, I wish I could have been a better person and not really sort of be rude to people and treat them all the same, because I had this false sense of confidence and ego that I felt like was given to me and not necessarily earned, you know? So when you're in that position of somebody new, you always want to kind of be accepted by other people and get the recognition, acceptance by other people.
Right.
instead of just being yourself and letting people come to you and, you know, showing respect to you instead of having to go out of your way to earn these people's respect, you know? And so that's what I was going through, where I felt like the need I needed to earn these people's respect by being a different person and not staying true to who I was before I became a member of NELK.
Right. Yeah. So when did you start to feel like there were clear divisions between you and the guys, like when you started arguing or things just seemed like they weren't really necessarily working out?
I would say in 2019 when we moved to LA for 6 months. Uh-huh. I feel like the distance started there, because that's when, you know, my position as a photographer, editor, and filmer started to be taken away from me in terms of letting other people come in to do my job, because they wanted to bring me more as a on-person entertainer and character. And that was the transition between behind the scenes to more on the scenes type of transition. So when more people started coming on, I felt more complacent of not doing the same things I used to do, because I got less responsibilities, less work to do. And that's why people would say, oh, you're so lazy, you have no personality, you have none, this, blah, 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 like all this other stuff. But they just don't understand what the behind the scenes things that weren't on camera that they know about. And this is the first time I'm really like talking about it, where I'm giving you a first insight of what I was experiencing, what I was feeling, and how I handled things in that certain way. So people like always want to create this assumption or this narrative that they think they know who I am without actually meeting me or getting to actually have a conversation with me. They just base their opinions and their own, you know, narratives in their head based on what they just see on camera, because that's all they know, right? And, you know, the same thing could say for every influencer or social media person. Like, until you get to know this person, you have no idea what they go through behind the scenes or off camera in personal lives, right? And so to get back into that, it was basically me distancing myself from them, because I felt alienated from doing what I was originally came as a member to do. And so I sort of started losing that motivation and that inspiration, where I wasn't able to do the things that I used to love to do.
Right. See, I was watching a clip of Kyle talking about it, and that was like one thing he said is that, like, he just felt like your work ethic wasn't there, because he specified one time where they asked you, I guess, to review or to do subtitles for a video or upload a video or do something like that, and then they came back and they were like, he was watching wrestling clips on his computer or some shit. Like,
yeah,
like when you hear that sort of story being specified by Kyle, does that ring true? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'll admit it. I made a lot of mistakes where I wasn't really doing my job, because, like I said, I just wasn't feeling happy in a way. Like, I started losing that motivation, and I wanted things to distract me from the reality of what I was doing, because I had other interests that I liked more, like, you know, watching basketball or watching highlights and all that stuff on YouTube, where, you know, I sort of, brutally honest, be sort of bored a bit nowadays, because I wasn't really doing things like editing. I love editing now,
right?
And I wasn't given that opportunity, and no disrespect to them, like, this is how I was feeling in that moment and time. And so when I look back on it, it's like, I wish I could have obviously done it differently, where I could have handled it much better and addressed it openly to them and told them how I really felt. But I was just scared to get the reaction of what they would think or how they would treat me after I told them, you know. And sometimes as an overthinker, I overthought what the reactions they would get if I told them my honest opinion and feelings, right? And I didn't, like, I was in that moment where I felt like this was the only thing left for me.
Right. How much of it was the fact that, like, they owned it or own it, right?
Yeah.
And you are just, like, an employee.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it can be easy. Like, I've run into these situations before where it's, like, it's easy for me to work 12, fucking 18 hours a day. And it's like, you know, sometimes when you hire somebody, you want them to have that same energy as you.
Exactly.
But then meanwhile, like, they're just getting paid a salary. So, like, it takes a certain type of person to, like, work their ass off in with the future in mind of, like, I'm going to, you know, so what? I don't own part of this. I'm going to work and, you know, someday I'm going to be getting paid more. I'm going to be part of this going forward in the long term. Was that part of it for you where it's like, was it hard for you to keep up with their work ethic given that you were just an employee?
I feel like at the very beginning, I was so motivated. I was so excited to be there, to do this. Excuse me. And I was, my work ethic was, you know, up there. I really made sure my work ethic was to impress them where they felt like I was worthy of, you know, getting paid more and, you know, really earning my salary. Like, I really put the time in to really make sure that I was doing the best I could. And obviously over time, when you start to feel unhappy about things and you start to feel less motivated, you really start to feel lazier and not put in the same effort that you did when you first started. And that's how it started for me 2 years ago, where now the transition of me becoming an on-camera personality really took away my happiness, sort of. And if some people don't really know, like, you could see it in the videos. I'm sure you saw it throughout Europe and, you know, parts of LA when we were still in LA,
right,
that I started to sort of feel a bit more unhappy and, like, I didn't really go along with their jokes or really, you know, playing along and catering to their comedy that or jokes that they like to do on me. And I felt like I was always the butt end of the joke. You know, I was the easy one to pick on because I didn't really react back to them or gave them a reaction that they were expecting me to give.
Right.
I just gave a real honest reply or reaction where I just didn't care. I didn't want to, like, cater to them and make them feel good, better about themselves that, you know, I'm just, like, a joke to them.
It is weird, though, when you're making, like, vlogs and shit like that. It's like sometimes you really want somebody who's not on board for the joke, because it's like it can be really kind of boring when everybody's laughing. It's like sometimes you need, like, the straight guy, like, to be able to, like, have, like, so you can say something crazy and they won't just laugh along and they'll just actually, like, be kind of offended or whatever. That's like an actual role in comedy, but it's got to be weird to sort of just inadvertently end up that guy without necessarily wanting to be that guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then when the whole you know, gay marriage and couple started with the wine tour, I wasn't necessarily on board with that, and I was too scared to say something because it's like, well, I just don't want to do it. That's not my character. That's not who I want to be. Like, I don't want to act gay or homosexual, sorry, and be a different person. I just want to be a regular person, be myself, whether or not, like, whether anyone says I'm boring or have no personality. This is just who I am. Sometimes I'm an introvert where I don't really necessarily want to express how I feel to everyone else, and sometimes I am more energetic and more talkative towards people if I really give a good vibe off of them and really have a good conversation with them, right? So it all depends on, like, how you interact with me and how you dictate a conversation with me, where that's how I talk to you, right? And so for you, for example, like, I'm more talkative because, you know, you're a great guy, like, you're very honest, and you also keep it real with people, right? And you don't BS people.
Right.
And that's what I like about you, is that you really make people well known about how you truly feel, right? You don't hide anything.
Very hard to hide it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, let me ask you this. Yeah. What were you always on the same page with them in terms of, like, partying and shit? Because sometimes I watch their videos and I'm like, it looks so fun, but I also know that I could never hang because I could just not drink on this level for days and days and days. Was that part of it, potentially?
Yeah, like, it's funny. I was actually talking about this last night where I would get drunk, but, like, one being sober, 10 being drunk, and 5 being tipsy.
Right.
I was like a 6 or a 7 almost every night because I don't want to get blacked out drunk, not remember things. But then I also want to remember what I'm doing so that at least, like, I could consciously know, at least think of something or be relatively aware of my surroundings and not really do anything that I will regret later on. You know, some people do that, like, as a way to have fun or, like, sort of relieve, you know, all the stress, whatever they have and stuff, whatever the case is, right? But for me, it was just more of, like, doing it to kind of pass by, just to go along with what the whole brand and the whole video was going to.
Right.
Like shotgunning beers, for example. That's like, I was so new to that where the first time I ever did it, I didn't even open the tab. I just drank it straight and I'm like, oh, you finished it? I'm like,
it's not coming out very easily. Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, what's going on here? And things like that were like, I had to get used to it. And it took a lot of time before I actually, started feeling, okay, like this is not bad, but I don't want to like go on living till I'm 30 and still drinking and partying and doing all this fat stuff.
I feel you. So when, what was the conversation actually like when you guys broke up? Because I feel like a lot of people, like fans and shit, they simplify it down to like 905 got caught sending dick pics. But over the years, we've seen it like kind of fleshed out where it seems like actually there was a lot of stuff leading up to that. And maybe that was just the big argument that sort of ended with you guys breaking up.
It wasn't so much an argument. It was just more of a confrontation of like, okay, like, this is not the first time. He's mentioned it before. I'm sure people have seen this videos about it. Like, yeah, I made mistakes of doing it and not really learning from it. And those was a time, and this is like was a time when I was so egotistical. I was so self-absorbed with myself where I felt like I was better than everybody else at a time where I felt like, okay, I had a privilege of entitlement and like, girls wanted me, but nowadays, they really want me or they just want to say that I was with me because I'm famous, right? Mm-hmm. Or I had clout or whatever you want to call it. And so it gave me some sort of like boost of confidence that I didn't really have. And so it made me feel like, okay, like these girls want me, and like I said, it was just all based on entitlement. And so I felt like, okay, this was okay. And, it was wrong for me to do it. And the conversation with the whole confrontation was like, it was civil. It's like, I understand that I made a mistake, that I shouldn't have done what I done. It just all could have been avoided if I just, kept in my pants. Yeah. People joke about this all the time on Instagram and anywhere on social media where like they just say like, oh, you did it. But at the same time, like, who hasn't
sent a dick pic?
Yeah.
I sent like maybe two in my life, but I feel like they were with girls who like very clearly wanted me to send a dick pic at that point. I do think, yeah, that's like kind of a unique thing to a lot of people. They don't really understand where the dick pic thing would have come from.
Yeah, and I think the main thing is I accept that it was, unwanted, unsolicited, which that's a mistake that I made that I accept now, and I take responsibility that it was a mistake that I shouldn't have. It's a mistake I shouldn't have done, and that, they don't want to see that. Right. People call me stupid all the time for doing it. It's like, yeah, it was in the moment of me not realizing what the consequences would be or what would happen in the future, because nobody could predict the future. And so when we were talking in Ibiza about it, they're just like, we have to let you go. And I said, I understand. Like, if this is what you want, I'm not going to argue with you, because it's a decision that I even accepted. Right?
Yeah. Like, how upset were you about it? Because it kind of feels like you guys weren't, it sort of must have been kind of obvious to you at that point, like, this is not really working out that great. But at the same time, it must have been tough having the cord cut all of a sudden.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I will admit that it's obviously not the greatest way to end a relationship with somebody. Obviously, it could have been handled differently, where I could have been more open and be like, hey, guys, like, this is not working out for me. I'm feeling a bit unhappy. I'm not really liking the way that the content is becoming, and I don't want to be a different person. And I could have just said I'm quitting, or I'm, I'm leaving. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, I'm voluntarily quitting. Instead of being fired, because fire is not the greatest way to end a relationship or the company or brand or whatever the relationship is with that person. So obviously, looking back, it could have been handled much differently, and the outcome of it today could have been completely different, where people wouldn't judge me or assume things or call me like, say negative things, right?
Yeah. Have you done any kind of therapy, or like have you gone out of your way to like sort of gain an understanding of like what happened through all this? Because I'm sure it was kind of traumatic to you to some extent, right?
Yeah. And especially because for the first couple months, people were wondering, what happened to you? What happened to you? Like, why aren't you talking about this? And over the past year and a half, people kept saying to me, like, talk about it, expose them. And like, air out your dirty laundry to them. But in reality, it's more of like, why should I do that? Why should I go out of my way to start a whole new argument or drama that people want to see when it's not necessary?
Right.
You know, because at the end of the day, it's not benefiting me. It's only making it worse for myself and making it a whole new conversation brought up again.
Right.
And so that's what people wanted. I just strayed away from answering questions like, oh, something about Steve, or like even on like TikTok lives or Instagram lives, people would always ask like, what happened with Nelk? And in the comments, like, what happened to you? Like, you fell off, you did this, you're like, you're a nobody now. And it's like, it does take a toll on you mentally and emotionally when people consistently say that every single day for the past year and a half, you know, bringing you down and like, basically like affecting you without, and always telling you yourself that, oh, I could get through this. I could, you know, manage to get through every single day now that, you know, it's just words. But at the same time, I've preached it before. Cyberbullying is still real. Mm. It's a real thing. And people think it's just a joke because bullying is something that happens in person. And people die over it. People commit suicide because they don't know how to handle themselves. And if they don't have therapy, who do they go to? They don't necessarily want to go to their family because they're scared of opening themselves up to them and telling them how they really feel. And when you hold that self in you, you sort of resort to the most dangerous things like drugs, alcohol, suicide, or getting into gangs or just whatever, right? And so for me, it was just more of like focusing myself on what I want to do. And that would be photography, video, filming, content creation. And that's what kind of drew me to sort of getting over it and starting my own journey and creating my own storyline and narrative to what people want to see me as now. And that's kind of what helped me. And I didn't really go through therapy because I've told this before. I keep it short. But when I was younger, like around 13, 14 or 15-ish, I tried to commit suicide twice.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And that's a whole separate story, but...
Was that from, like, bullying in school or that kind of thing?
Yeah. Wow. I said this on my last podcast that I did about a month ago. And, you know, cyberbullying, bullying in person, I was treated like a nobody. I was alone all the time. So that really took into account of, like, how my mental and social life was as a kid, and that obviously translated to how I was as an adult. And then, you know, I tried committing suicide the first time where I wrapped an extension cord around my neck in my brother's room. And I tried to hang myself, and right before I did that, my mom walked in and, you know, confronted me about it. Like, what are you doing? Like, why do you want to kill yourself? And so I went to therapy for maybe a couple sessions, and it wasn't really working out for me because I'm like, what is this guy gonna do for me? And therapy is not so much, it's not for everybody. There are people out there that do therapy because it helps them talk about it more. And so it still happened in high school where the same thing happened, where I felt like I had new friends, I had a new circle of people around me, but I was still getting treated the same way. And so nobody really took me seriously because I was just like that quiet Asian kid. As a stereotype, right? And so I felt the same way where I debated if I wanted to kill myself again. You know, and so, you know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here today. And, you know, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Well, I mean, I seen it on your Twitter that I think you had, like, put a bunch of your different Instagram stories in a tweet that was basically you talking about all the shit that you get from people and how that, I mean, not that you were actually thinking about it, but it seemed like you were kind of trying to communicate to people, like, giving me such a hard time like this, like, you're really playing with me emotionally, and like, people really kill themselves over this kind of shit. And it's like, I'm sure the average person, when they're giving you a hard time in the comments, they think that you should just be able to deal with it because they consider you famous or whatever. But, you know, obviously that's not really,
no, like, people go through all the time, celebrities, athletes, they talk about the mental health. Like Kid Cudi, for example, dealt with depression.
Now he's out here wearing a dress.
Oh, is he?
Well, he wore it on SNL at least for a little bit.
Right. So it does change the people's mentalities of how they want to live their life now, right? It really does take a toll on them. And, you know, so for me, it was more of just like, how do I handle all of this? How do I get to these viewers that are watching my stories, videos or photos, and connect with them personally to understand what I'm going through as a human being and not as a celebrity or influencer or whatever, right? And a lot of these people are like high school kids, or they're young, like 14 to 21 or something. They don't really know better. They don't understand the reality of what people go through, or they can't relate to them because they're not at that level of their mindset where they could understand the person's perspective and relate to it and, you know, tell themselves, okay, this person's actually just a regular human being.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, one story that's in the news right now is that the tennis player Naomi Osaka, I think is her last name.
Yeah.
She's YBN Namir or YBN Cordae's girlfriend. And she, like, is this huge tennis star.
Yeah.
And she, like, canceled her media obligations. And I guess they fined her $15,000 because if you're playing in this tennis league, you're supposed to do all the media stuff. And that's kind of an interesting question because it's like, she's like, my mental health was not good at this time. I don't think I could handle it. And I've always been used to seeing people in the UFC or in basketball, or whatever. If you don't do the interviews after the post game wrap up, whatever, then you get fined or you're in trouble or whatever. And it's just kind of accepted that in sports, you're supposed to be tough. And that's what this is all about, is like mental toughness is going to be like what determines who's great at this. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I mean, that shit is not for everybody. Like a lot of times, the answer is not just being relentlessly tough on yourself. The answer is like giving yourself some time, giving yourself some space, like giving yourself room to feel sad and et cetera. And I mean, I feel like that's somehow relevant to this.
Yeah, like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, they're the most talked about because they have the most controversial opinions, but they tell it how it is, and people obviously, even watching this interview, they could agree, they could disagree. That doesn't matter to me. That's your own opinion. Create your own opinion. You don't have to like me, but at least try to understand. Not even try. Just do your best to understand what I'm trying to say. And regardless if you want to like me or not, I'm just gonna continue living my life the way I want to and surround myself with good people. And if you don't want to accept that, that's their problem. Like, that's their own choice. And I can't change people's opinions or choices on their life because that's how they want to live. I'm focused on myself. And until you focus on yourself and worry about yourself more, you can't help other people around you. So that's just kind of how I, you know, dictate my life a bit.
I feel you. Did you see this like live stream clip that I was talking about that Kyle had where he was talking about you? Because in that clip, he did seem like a little bit more frustrated and like annoyed with talking about the subject in comparison to like when you first left. There was like a podcast clip that came out that seemed a little bit more like they were trying to be cool about it. It feels like almost like he kind of feels like the same way you do, where he's like frustrated with people always want to talk about it, and like he just sort of lashed out in that stream clip. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, people have like tagged me in it, sent it to me, but I didn't really watch it because honestly, I don't really watch them anymore. And it's not because I don't like them personally. I have nothing against them. It's just more of like, that's not the content that I want to watch or focus myself on.
If you're going to move on, you gotta
let them
cut ties at a certain point, you know?
Exactly, right? And people are just like, they just don't want to accept that. Like, they're always going to remember me that as that person, part of Nelk. And like I said, like, I just want to focus myself on like photography related content, videos or editing, and just other people that are in the same industry as me, and focus on learning from them and applying that to other people watching me and being able to see my own journey and my own, you know, creativeness, right? And at some point, you just got to move on from it and accept what's going on, and that we're on two different pathways. Like, they're doing their own thing. They're, you know, doing their merch, they're doing the content, traveling the world. That's awesome for them. I really do. And I said this before, I do wish them the best with everything they're doing. But then people also have to sort of know that I'm doing my own thing now.
You feel like you've been on a journey of like getting better on camera and like figuring out what kind of content you want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And vlogging is a way of really opening myself up more personally on camera and off camera, where, you know, people get to see what I do, the encounters that I meet. Like, I get to meet people, like fans that recognize me in public, and I record it because I want to show people this is what really kind of goes on with, you know, everyday life whenever I get recognized. And there are good people out there that do appreciate everything I do.
Right. You know? Definitely. Yeah, especially like with your like on camera capacity, it feels like you've gotten a lot more comfortable, because I attempted and then gave up on watching the interview that you did in the Before They Were Famous thing, because I honestly made it like a minute in and I was like, this is too awkward. Like, this is just not, and it wasn't even all you. No offense, Michael McCrudden, but that was also like, it felt awkward as shit from him too. I was like, I'm just going to talk to him tomorrow. I'm not watching this. But I feel like you got a lot more comfortable since then.
Yeah, I feel like for you, it's more of like, you're more laid back. You don't really...
Oh, but it took a long time to get here. Like, I used to be awkward as fuck too. And I would be so fucking nervous the whole day before an interview. It took like beating that out of me over and over and over to make that go away.
Yeah,
you know?
And I felt the same way before we were on camera. I'm like... In moments like this, I'm a bit nervous because I don't know what to expect. Mm. I don't know how the conversation is going to go, whether it be an uncomfortable, awkward situation, or if it's just more of a layback where I get to be myself and not be judged by you or, you know, your employees or whatever, like, listening to this. Because, like...
Laura is very judgmental. Her heart is full of hate.
So...
Just kidding.
And, like, for me, it's more of, like, this is the... These are opportunities that I want to sort of... clear the air where I have a one-on-one conversation with somebody where they're not judgmental or biased. Mm. They have an open mind where they could hear what I have to say and give their own takes, but not necessarily pick a side. They just want to like know the truth, right? And that's what I like about people who do their interviewing role properly.
Mm. Yeah. I feel you. Yeah. What else are you excited about in life right now besides doing the YouTube thing? What kind of stuff are you doing on TikTok? I didn't check you out on there yet.
Oh, yeah. So basically, I have a system to myself where I have a YouTube video. I edit everything up together, make a whole video out of it. And then I cut up pieces like montages or vlog footage, like fan encounters or just cool places I go to. And I cut them up into like 15 to 30 second videos and just put that on TikTok.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of like how people do on YouTube where they have a YouTube clip, like a YouTube clip channel where they take parts of their podcast, like Logan, for example.
Right.
They take parts of their clips and they just cut it up into like, you know, segments. Mm. And that's kind of like what I do with my YouTube videos. I cut it up into segments and post it on Instagram, sometimes on TikTok.
But is it weird that you're always filming like this, but then you're also thinking about what slicing it down the center would look like?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's just like I just film it as wide as I can on my lens so that I don't have to worry about, you know, editing it to the point where like, okay, do I have to worry about the cropping size? Mm. I do it by a portrait, like, you know, portrait size. I know some people like you do like the full screen, which does work for a lot of people. But for me, I just like to keep it simple. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're like fully cropped in like this, like if you're getting as close as you can possibly get, then doing the crop becomes really difficult.
Yeah.
So if you leave it zoomed out a little bit, it's probably a lot better.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. In my mind, I'm a visionary sometimes where I envision before it happens how I want it to look before I film it. Like, for example, like when I was here, I vlogged a bit before the podcast. I envision what I'm going to say, how it's going to look, and, you know, introducing you, for example, right, in my video. That's like everything is kind of pre-planned in my head.
Right.
And even with the editing, it's pre-planned of like, how do I want this to look? How do I want people to, you know the narrative to the story?
I feel you.
Yeah.
For sure. Is there anything else that you're excited about that you've been working on?
Oh, anything? Yeah. My buddy's a PR. He works at an agency.
Oh.
So we've been connecting with a lot of other PR people in California and meeting with them and doing potential work. I did a Nasty Gal pop-up event. I just kind of shot some photos and videos for them.
Oh, nice.
And that was the first pop-up event in LA. I'm looking forward to traveling more to California or just around the world and being able to like work with brands and, you know, get paid to work there and, you know, take photos and videos for them as clientele and build up my resume.
Mm.
And, you know, just being able to just enjoy life.
Yeah.
That's really it.
That's dope. Yeah. Cause when you DM me, I was like, you know what? This is an interesting story. Cause a lot of times you will hear about somebody who sort of gets like, you know, unceremoniously ousted from like a vlog crew or some shit like that. And, you know, you just sort of never hear from them again, or, you know, they just kind of are off the map after that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm glad to see that you, through that whole process, I feel like you kind of went through the process of finding yourself and figuring out who you really were.
Yeah. And I guess to segue into another thing, I mentioned that I've been sober now for over a year and now 5 months now.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going great. It's actually, I say this all the time, it saves me money.
Yeah.
Saves me sleep, energy, and just time in general. And I get to mentally be more healthier, physically, mentally,
right.
spiritually. Like, it really helps me focus more and really, like, put my time into more better things.
Yeah.
And
we can't all be Steve Will Do It, man. Like, I'm watching this shit, and I'm watching him just crush bottles of alcohol, and I'm like, bro, your insides must be so different from mine that that actually works for you, because that would be, like, the end of my week right there.
Yeah, yeah. And back in the day, we would call it like 3-4 times a week.
Right.
Straight sometimes. We would call it a grand slam.
Jesus Christ. Hey, much respect. I mean, we smoke enough weed that honestly, there's probably people who look at us like that. Like, wow, you guys are like superheroes of weed.
Yeah. And
I'm the Steve Will Do It of Kush. Somebody write that down.
And the funny thing is, so after Halloween 2019, that's when I first started my sobriety. I said to myself as a joke, like, hey, I'm going to go a month without alcohol or weed. And, you know, went by. I'm like, you know what? Let's try again. Just do December, the most difficult month of the entire year.
Mm.
And I did that. The only exception was I went to vacation in the Philippines. And that's the only time I drank. And it was like, okay, it was casual. It was just like, you know, a couple of drinks, playing with my family, like a game and all that. But that was the last time I really drank and smoked in, like, yeah, Halloween.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's been a long time. But honestly, I feel so much better. I feel better. I feel more happier in terms of, like, not having to be hungover in the morning or having to, you know, feel like trash.
Yeah, no, definitely. For me, once I kind of, like, cut that out, my life just made so much more sense, because during the time of my life where I was trying to, like, really work hard and party, I was just burning the candle on both ends, and you can only do that for so long.
Exactly,
you know?
And it really does interfere with, like, work and partying. Mm. If you mix those two together, it doesn't really work out well, because what do you care more about, your work or your partying, to, like, impress people or make yourself look good in front of other people, right?
Yeah, I don't really feel like you can be that great at either of them. That, like, what, you know what, like, if you are really, like, I used to do interviews, like, I would be up fucking all night drinking and doing coke and then come in and do an interview on 1 hour sleep. Yeah. And I mean, I was kind of amazed with myself and proud of myself that I did show up and just do it, but it was fucking hell doing it. I feel like I'm gonna die during it. And I mean, is that interview as good as it could have been? Definitely not.
No. And, like, I've watched past interviews where, like, you felt tired a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, you ran into situations where, like, it was awkward. Like, I remembered one time the guy was so drunk that he came into your podcast and he wanted to do it. And, like, your team basically, like, the manager's like, don't do this interview. And then, like, it was, like, 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden, like, he passed out or something.
Yeah. Shout out to Boonk. I heard he's doing great now, though. I heard he's, like, real healthy and shit now.
Yeah. And so, like, for example, I mean, just an example, like, people are at the darkest times, but over time, if you really take into consideration your health and your mindset, you really do change who you become now. And people don't realize, like, okay, like, is this the same guy he was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? Like, no, like, I really took the time to develop myself as a person and the people around me, and being able to, like, be more kind to people and really show more respect to people that I may or may not know of, right? Because you never know what their stories are, you know. And that's the thing that I've taught through this book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Oh, the Mark Manson book.
Mark Manson, right? Yeah. And I preached this before, where that book literally changed my life.
Really?
It completely changed my life 180, where now I'm accepting responsibilities for myself, the values that I have. And this podcast, really, the things I'm saying right now is all sort of based through that book, because I would never have come on this podcast confidently and being able to openly talk about these situations or these stories or tell you how I felt, because I was so scared of caring what other people thought about me, right? And, you know, my goal is to just, like, show people that I'm changing for the better and that I'm not the same person that you saw me off cam or off of Nelk, right? Because that's basically the last memory they have of me, right? When you look back and you see those last few videos, that's the new viewers, that's the only thing that they remember me for, as, like, my last memory with them. And I want to change that now. And, you know, people don't have to, like, sort of like it or agree with what I'm doing, but this is how I want to changed the landscape of my life and my career now, you know? And I hope that this, you know, sort of changed people's minds about me, or, you know, reconsider what they really thought about me before I came on this podcast, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm just, I think it's a really cool thing that we could sort of show how you've managed to, you know, get your shit together after that and stuff. Because, I mean, probably there's a lot, there's probably a lot more people who relate to you and sort of going through these sort of issues than people who don't relate, you know? Like, for everybody who's, like, talking shit on your Instagram or whatever, I'm sure there's more people that would appreciate hearing about the journey, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I came on, before I came on this podcast, that's what I was telling myself. Like, I want people to hear the behind stories of how I came to this position.
Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't for Nelk and if it wasn't for Kyle, I wouldn't be sitting here right now doing this podcast with you, because if I reach out to you and you know, I didn't have credibility to myself, you'd be like, oh, it's just another guy trying to be on my podcast. You know, who the fuck is this guy?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I'm a cloud chaser. What can I say?
And one last thing I kind of want to bring up too is like the whole situation with that girl. People don't know. She was actually 20.
Okay.
So like people, that's, you know, break the ice with that.
So there was a specific girl that wasn't just like a, because I thought it was like a bunch of girls or like that, that was sort of presented that way.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
So it wasn't just her, but it was her specifically where she recorded it from her buddy's phone and, you know, sent that to Keem, and, you know, that's how it got leaked, right? And, you know, the whole situation with that. And so I apologized to her about it. And I said, hey, like, I'm sorry for what I did. I knew it was a mistake. I know that I shouldn't have done that. And no, not just her, but every other female in the world should never have to experience that. And that I'm taking responsibility for myself, right? And that my actions weren't right. And that I am never doing that again. And I haven't done it since. So she actually read my message right away. And she's like, you know what? Like, I appreciate you for apologizing to me. I accept your apology. I forgive you. And she said, even for her, she said, I made the mistake of being immature by recording that. It shouldn't have led to that, it shouldn't have led to that situation where now that's publicly out there for everyone to see, right? She could have just handled it differently, where maybe like she sees it, she messages me back, say, hey, stop this. Like, right. Don't do that again. And I would have been like, you know, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. But because she did that, that's how it ended up becoming what it is today. And she acknowledges it.
Hey, you learn from it and move on.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, as time goes on, we learn to change who we are, because maybe we don't accept who we are right now and we don't want to become the same person we were before. And that's how I, you know, like I said, that's what I want to be now. I want to be somewhat of a good role model to people, and you know, the only way I could do that is just show people my honest self to them. You know?
Respect.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Anything else you want to say to the world out there before we wrap this up?
Raptors in six.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Did you ever see that video I posted?
What?
So May 29th of 2019, I tweeted out before the finals, I said Raptors are going to win in six.
Okay.
And I posted a TikTok of like that tweet, the clip that I said predicting it, and then showing the lasting moments of the series when the Raptors won, and then, you know, they're like 2019 NBA champions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I wish I knew about basketball. One day.
And your podcast is called No Jumper.
And anyone who has seen me play basketball will tell you, no jumper.
Yeah, but you're tall, though, so you have an advantage.
The advantage doesn't really matter, it appears. I do have an advantage, but somehow the advantage has not worked out for me.
Hey.
That's one thing I want to do. Once I get to the point where I actually have a house that's big enough that we got like a basketball court, if that ever happens, I'm going to actually like learn to like shoot the ball good. Because whenever I do, like, I can't remember what the fuck I was doing when I was playing basketball when I was like 9. I can't remember. I'm like, what am I doing with my hands here? It doesn't feel right. So I'm going to figure it out one day.
Yeah, one day. I mean, you could go on those celebrity basketball games, right?
Right.
Someday.
Well, I've seen there's an app that you like set up on a tripod and it traces your shot. and it like will tell you like what you need to do different.
Oh, really?
I was like, that's pretty cool.
That's really cool. Technology is amazing.
Yeah. I might get a real coach though. I don't know if I trust the app.
Hire a real coach then.
Yeah. If anyone wants to teach me how to shoot a basketball at 37, let me know.
Really, 37?
Yeah.
Wow.
You look good soon. Yeah.
You look younger.
Yeah, thank you. At least I'm not. I'm old as fuck.
I'm turning 27 in July.
Damn.
So people think I'm younger.
Venmo him for a drink.
I don't have Venmo. Canadians don't have Cash App, Venmo, any of that stuff.
You can't even use it?
No.
Or you just, people don't.
You can't even download it.
Really?
No. We have something in Canada called e-transfer, which is basically the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
We had a house on Malibu and this weekend, and there was a fucking like a house full of like girls who just graduated high school next door, and they had a van outside, and there was writing all over the van that said like, Venmo me for a drink. Like, Venmo me a drink. I'm thinking like you have enough fucking money to get a house on Malibu for the weekend, and you're asking people to Venmo you for a drink. And it says right there you just graduated high school, which wow. I assume means that you're not old enough to legally drink.
Yeah. Or if you come to Canada,
get loaded.
18 in some provinces.
First place I ever got loaded was in Montreal.
Yeah, 18. Mm. It's Quebec.
I was 16. I don't even know who we got to buy us.
Quebec, Manitoba, and Alberta are the only provinces that are 18.
Really?
Everything else is 19.
19?
Yeah.
Was there ever a 16? Because I was 16 drinking in Montreal.
Nope. No, that's in Europe.
We must have got a bum to buy it for us or something.
Europe is 16.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
If I went to a bar and there was a 16-year-old kid drinking, I'd be like, all right, I'm out of here, bro. This is not normal. This is weird.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate you coming on the show, man. 905. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. And Friday, we'll be listening to your music. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you.